Jess, it's Lindsay. Normally you're the one in the car giving me messages, but I thought I would try today since I have an 8-hour drive. I am not going to attempt to do video, as you've already realized, because I have nowhere that I could prop my phone or my iPod up to try and take video, so instead you will get a voice memo. So I haven't been on Twitter basically at all the last 2 to 3 weeks. Sometimes I'll go on for like half an hour, whatever's happening at that moment I'll read, and if not, I'm just totally behind. But it sounds like things are going really well for you at school. I'm so glad that your process of coming out to people has been going comfortably. As you saw on Twitter, my coming out process was suddenly made incredibly uncomfortable. And I think I told you a bit of like my thought process before, but just in case I'll repeat it. Where it's like, I was kind of old when I figured out I was bi, and really on the gayer side of bi. And partly, like, the reason for that was because, like, the world is just so heteronormative that when I realized I could like guys, I just assumed that that's what it would be for me. And there's a lot of, like, just assuming that I would fall into that role. And also, like, girls are everywhere. They're sexualized so often in our society that, like, and so much of like our media is made for the male gaze that, you know, women are pretty comfortable with being like, oh yeah, she's totally hot, because we're just taught that way. So when I found women attractive, I assumed that was just also what all women did. Oh god, sorry, traffic's suddenly slowing down. It took me a long time to realize that I was actually bi and mostly gay in that bi. And when I did, like, it was like a process of a couple years of me going from like, yeah, I would totally be with a girl if I fell in love with one, to like, no, really, I want to fall in love with a girl. I don't think I can fall in love with a guy. It might happen, but it probably won't. And the point where I actually like went on a date with a girl, that's the point that, like, I came out to my sister. I wasn't really planning on it. She was just, like, she was kind of pushing me to get into a relationship with someone and, like, concern trolling about how I was going to be lonely and alone forever. And I was like, well, fuck you, I have a date this week. And she's like, with who? And I'm like, her name's Alicia. And yeah, that's how I came out to my sister. And it was like, partly because I told her as a fuck you, it was not the most comfortable process. She's also, my sister's really conservative, and she's the type of person that doesn't think she's homophobic or anything like that, but is. And like, we're just not, she's not someone that's like, all gays need to go. And she thinks that because she benignly tolerates like gay people, that means she's like stellar and not homophobic at all. But she still does a lot of things that like come off as homophobic and racist and other isms, that she just hasn't really examined those parts of her life and doesn't care to. And so when I told her, she kind of like gave me a speech, and a lot of this speech I was like rolling my eyes in my head and feeling kind of uncomfortable with it. She gave that speech of like, well, I really hope that you end up with the guy, not because I care, it's not that I care, it's that the world cares, and it would just be so much of an easier life if you ended up with a guy. And it's like, you know, that's just something that's said so often to try and be like conform, that it's really unhelpful. And also, like, it ignores the fact that, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of great things about being in a homosexual relationship that, like, it just dismisses them out of hand, out of this, like, concern trolling. So, like, that wasn't comfortable for me. And then after that, like, my sister would still, like, use a lot of male pronouns when describing potential partners for me. She'd, like, talk about, like, my mother is really baby crazy and wants, like, a ton of grandkids, and Jen is like, I have done two, it is someone else's turn. And so for a while she was pushing me really hard just because my mom was really pushing her, and like that was really kind of insulting to me too, because like, one, I'm a student right now, and I was at the time I was either at the time or planning, like, already arranged to become one again. And it's like, that is not a good time to be having a child, regardless. But also, if I'm dating girls, that's not an easy decision. It's not like, oh, let's just try and see what happens. You have to plan that shit, and there's a lot of logistics that slow you down. So it was, like, frustrating to me that she kept, like, you know, just ignoring the female part of bi. And so, like, I just never really felt comfortable around her with it, so we just never talked about it. And, like, talking to her about it and having that, like, uncomfortable experience really convinced me to not tell others in my family. Because, like, I have gay cousins. I know, like, overall my family will accept it. But, like, if my sister's conservative, my mom is even more so. And again, she doesn't think she is. So it makes it harder to deal with, because she'll be like, I'm so liberal and open-minded. And I'm like, no, you're hurting me. So, and like, my mother just desperately wants babies. And I was raised a good Catholic, so it's like, can't have babies without having a husband. can't have kids, like, can't, like, I was raised to the no sex before marriage kind of household. So, yeah. And I think I told you about, like, that time where my mom was, like, signing anti-gay marriage petitions that, like, shocked the hell out of me and made me, like, kind of scarred me for life. So, yeah, I kind of figured the rest of my family would be, like, whatever about it, but my mom would take it hard. And especially if I came out as bi, I'm pretty sure that my mom's reaction would be like, hey, I want to start setting you up on blind dates with, like, nice young men, and do not want at all. She tried doing that once to me with, like, a random salesman. It was horrifying. So, yeah. So, like, I came out to my sisters, like, 3 years ago. Something like that. Like, not recently. And we haven't really talked about it much since. I'll talk with my little sister about it a little bit more. But, like, one of the other reasons why we haven't talked about it is because I am way too busy to try dating. So it's kind of like, yeah, okay, this is a part of me, but it's not a part of me that I'm actively using right now. I don't feel the need to talk about it a lot. So it's just, like, backburnered. And there had been a few times, like, especially more lately, because, like, when I first came out to my sister, I was a lot less certain of how I felt. I wasn't sure, like, where I was and what I envisioned my future. And I feel a little more secure in that now, although I also recognize that stuff can change. So, like, I don't like coming, I'm definitely not, like, firmly at one end of the Kinsey scale. So I don't like necessarily trying to explain it to people, because, you know, what's true today might not be true tomorrow. And it's just, I don't want to have to deal with it, really, is it? So I tell people who aren't invested enough in my life to try and give me input on my life, or people that are invested in my life who I trust, like my friend, like mostly my friends, not so much my family, because I trust my friends to be savvy when it comes to someone being gay and being able to handle it. whereas I don't fully trust my family with those things. But, and, like, outside of my sexuality, I've really kind of grown a lot more to just, like, I've surrounded myself with things that I like so much, and I'm so happy with, like, the things that make me happy that sometimes it's, like, that much more disappointing to do things that aren't happy-making. So, like, you know, hanging out with family can sometimes feel a bit like not an ordeal, but a little bit of, like, I am sacrificing my fun time for this. Because I just know that, like, whenever I'm with them, I'm like, I could be having so much more fun elsewhere. And it makes me feel like a crappy person because I have a really great family, but the thing is, my family is full of great people. They're just not filled with my people. Like, I have people that understand me and communicate with me so much better than my family does. And that makes it hard. So, I guess my sister had been picking up on that a little bit. And like, the thing is, too, like, I'm really fanish, where it's not even just like, you know, oh, Fall Out Boy, oh, podfic. It's like how fandom has managed to change my brain and change how I think. Like, you know, after social justice, the amount of social justice meta I've read, I can't not see that stuff in my day-to-day life. I can't, and it can be hard not to comment on it when I see people like showing their ass in public or doing things that like support this world of oppression that we have. And so, like, you know, sometimes I'll grit my teeth, sometimes I'll say something, but like a lot of the times when I say something, people get upset because it's not a comfortable process to have someone to be told that, like, hey, your ass is showing. And so I don't, like, it just makes it hard for me to talk. And so I end up, like, withdrawing and not doing that. And I guess my sister had picked that up and, like, was feeling uncomfortable with that. I don't know. But, like, we started talking on Friday because this is the weekend that I was going to the Michigan Fall Out Boy concert. And I was supposed to drive, like, I didn't have any classes on Friday. I was supposed to drive all day Friday, get to Michigan, and spend all day Saturday hanging out. But because of stupid homework situations, I didn't end up leaving my house until like 3 o'clock, and it's an 8-hour drive. So I would have got there at like midnight, depending on how long it took at the border. And I was just like that, and I hadn't booked a hotel yet. So I was like, this seems like a poor plan. My sister is like just over the halfway point. I can drive to my sister's, get there just a little after dinner, like at 8 o'clock or whatever. And just spend the night there and do the rest of the like 3 or 4 hours on Saturday morning. Sorry, I took a drink there. So that's what I did. And yeah, so I wasn't even planning on seeing my sister. And I've been so stressed. Like, I've been stupidly stressed about school. Like, more stressed than I need to be. And I'm stressed because, like, this is my last semester. Come January, I need to have a job. Because, like, I don't have any savings left. I used all of my savings. That's what's been paying for school for the past 2 years. And I'm running out to the point where I don't know if it'll get me through this semester. Especially since my part-time job that I've been using the whole, like, that I've been having all the way through school didn't come through. Or it hasn't come through yet. So I'm not working this semester. So I'm stressed about money and having a job. I'm also stressed about school situations because there's so much homework to do. And we didn't have access to labs this week because they don't have any lab monitors. And like the labs that they assign us, we have a 3-hour lab class and it takes more than 3 hours to do the lab. So like I was just a stress ball when I hit my sister's. And then, like, this whole thing happened. And it started off, we were watching the news, or we were talking with the TV on in the background, And I saw a headline that the, you know that gang rape that happened in India that was making, like, international headlines and whatnot? The men in there had been sentenced to death. And we're not really for the death penalty, so we're kind of like, ooh, how do we feel about this? And my sister was saying that she's like, she's unhappy because it seems like they're being scapegoated. They're getting this real, like, their lives are being taken away because this made international headlines. But she doesn't think that India is making any sort of efforts to stop this from happening again, other than using these boys as an example to hold up and be like, if you do this, you'll get the death penalty. But there's still a really large rape problem, and, like, they should be changing laws. They should be, you know, trying to change the attitudes of people and make the situation safer for women, as opposed to just, like, dealing with these four people. And it, like, we were discussing that back and forth, and then somehow we started talking about Miley Cyrus. Oh, no, because I had started talking about, like, you know, just the high rates of sexual assault out there. Like, I know that the stat that goes around online a lot is 1 in 4 women will be sexually assaulted. The stat that I see with Canadian data is that 50% of women will be abused and or sexually assaulted. So that's a really large number. And I said, like, personally, I don't know any woman who hasn't been sexually assaulted. I mean, to varying degrees of sexual assault, like, clearly, like, rape is an extreme form of sexual assault and is unfortunately all too common. But there's also the, like, just men coming up and grabbing you and, like, touching you in sexual ways when you never invited that touch, when you don't want that touch. It's happened to me a number of times. And most people I know have at some point been touched without permission. And even when they, like, give the signs of, like, stop it, don't do this, guys persist. That happens a lot at bars where, like, some guy will start dancing with you and then you're like, no, go away, and they keep until you have to, like, run to the bathroom with your girlfriends. And that's a form of sexual assault, even though, well, depending too on how they're dancing, but there's a lot of, like, grinding against people in dancing that it's like, no, don't touch me. So I don't know any woman that hasn't had to deal with at least that level of things. But my sister was like, no, not for me, and I don't know. We ended up talking. That's how we ended up talking about. Sorry, I'm drinking as I talk. That's how we ended up talking about Miley Cyrus. And my sister is very conservative and kind of prudish. And she was, like, slut shaming Miley. And I was like, there are problematic things to talk about in what Miley did, like the cultural appropriation alone. But everyone is focusing on her acting like a sexual being in public, and that's not the thing that people should be focusing on. Let's talk about, you know, thick and blurred lines, and let's talk about cultural appropriation, but, you know, slut shaming. So I was trying to, like, explain slut shaming, and my sister in her prudishness was like, look, I don't care what people do in their bedrooms, but they gotta keep it in the bedroom. I don't want to see that. And she's like, it doesn't matter if they're gay or they're straight or whatever. And that's how we ended up talking about, this is probably way too much backstory, but I have a long drive, so you're going to get me rambling a lot. And I'm still trying to, like, figure out what happened, because it happened so fast that, like, when she said that, I was basically trying to say that, like, the problem with saying that is you think, like, you know that you're applying it to everyone, but when you say that, especially to a gay person, they're going to take more offense to it than a straight person, because so many gay people get called on for more things. Like, No one comments when straight people hold hands in public, but a lot of people stare or comment or glare or like be homophobic in their faces when gay people do that. And like, what, where's your line of what should be kept in the bedroom? Can you like kiss them on the cheek? Can you kiss them on the lips? How long can you kiss them on the lips? Does there have to be tongue involved? Like, I mean, I get reaching into your partner's pants in public. That's a line I don't really want to see either. But it gets a lot more problematic when you say, like, I think it should be kept in the bedroom to gay people. Even if you're still applying that same line to straight people. Because the person that you're saying it to might not know about that line. And as a gay person, I kind of find that offensive. And at that point, like, my sister burst into tears and started yelling at me. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And we spent like 3 hours discussing. Basically, it felt like my personhood was being put on trial. Because my sister was like, there was a lot of stuff that my sister was blaming in quotation marks there, on me being gay, that I was like, actually, that's just me. And it was really, yeah, like, I think she was being like, because I'm not a normal person because I'm bi, as opposed to like, I'm bi and also not living the path of life that like mom and dad envisioned for me when I was a kid, of like, do well in school, finish high school, go to university, get a degree, get a job right away, and start popping out babies. And that's not a life that I've lived. And to be honest, it's not a life I'm interested in living. Maybe I would have been okay with it once upon a time, but I've discovered other things that like leave me so much more happy that I can't go back to that. And I don't want to. And it's just not gonna happen. I'm not saying I won't ever have a family and have kids, but it's gonna be on my own terms, and it's not gonna be following that life path that they saw. And my family is very conformist of like, this is the life path, you must follow it. And conformist to like, you know, society standards of things, of like beauty ideals, of just everything. Like, they've given me shit when I don't shave my legs. Like, ew, you're so gross, you need to go, like, here's a razor, go do it now. And it's like, fuck you, I can have hairy legs if I want. And like, there's a lot of fat shaming in my family, and it's like, you know what, I'm fat and I am happy with my body, I am happy with how I look, I am okay with being fat. And you know, a couple times I've called myself fat, and like, my mother has been like, oh, don't say mean things about yourself. And I'm like, that's not a mean thing. You make it mean. It is an objective fact. I am fat. And that doesn't mean it's an insult. So there's just like stuff like that my family is very conformist, and I am not like that. And it just constantly puts ourselves on off our game, like when talking to each other. They don't know how to deal with me, and I have lost the will to deal with them on their level. And so a lot of it is, I don't hang out with my family as much, and I don't talk as much when I'm there. I'll do a lot of like hiding. My nephews are great for that. I had one nephew that like his favorite thing was to sit with me in the dark in a closet. We just sit there and cuddle in a closet with the lights off. No talking. He would shush me whenever I did. I think we were meant to be hiding. So I'd like go and do that. I'll go play hide and seek with my nephews. I'll go throw a ball around instead of talking to the adults in my family, just because I find it hard to talk to them. The stuff that I'm interested in, they don't care about. The stuff that they're interested in, there's only so much of it I can care about, so much I want to listen to before I'm like, kill me now. So like, my sister was just bringing up a lot of that and being like, you make people uncomfortable when you talk to us about the things that you like. She wasn't saying it that way, but that's what it boiled down to. Like, when I talk about feminist issues, it makes people uncomfortable. When I talk about you know, gay rights, it makes people uncomfortable. And it's like, well, that stuff is kind of supposed to be uncomfortable at first. I know that it's not something that you, like, there's a difference in fandom. You have the choice to, like, go and search this stuff out and read it. And, you know, when someone starts talking about it at the dinner table, you don't have that choice. And so, since I've observed that people aren't comfortable with it, I tend not to bring it up as much. And when I bring it up, like, it was about more, like, we were talking about Miley Cyrus, not about my sister, for that very reason. Because if you talk, make it about, like, society's reaction and you being a member of society's reaction, it makes it a little bit, you know, it's not, it doesn't feel as much like a personal attack. Although apparently my sister is still feeling hugely personally attacked. And I was like, you were having that conversation with me too. If you had given me cues that you didn't want to be in that conversation, I would have let it drop. But you were fighting, like, you were, like, talking about, on the subject about it too. You didn't want to talk about it, why didn't you change the subject? And she gave me this whole lecture about how I should have been picking up on her body cues, of her body language. And it's like, that's, like, we weren't even looking at each other half the time because she had the TV on. How am I supposed to pick up on her cues that she is feeling uncomfortable when she's not telling me so? But she's not even, like, the times I was looking at her, she didn't even look all that uncomfortable until suddenly she burst into tears. And that's something that, like, I know everyone leaves their family with their own complexes and their own issues. One of the things that I spent a long time coming to terms with was, like, because my family told me forever that I was socially awkward, that I'm not good in social situations. And a lot of that was around my family. I was very quiet because my family will yell and argue, and the person who gets hurt is the person who's willing to talk loudest. And I wasn't willing to fight to be heard, so I would just be quiet. So people took that as, I don't know, me being antisocial. And I didn't have a huge amount of friends as a kid, but I was the smart cat, fat kid, which tends to put you on the outs of, you know, the elementary school cliques. So, and my entire life, my family was like, yeah, you're really socially awkward, you should work on that. And what I've realized since going to university is, it's not necessarily that I'm socially awkward. It's if I'm given the opportunity to be social in a way that I'm comfortable with, I will totally be social. Like, especially I hang out with a lot of geeky people, and I hang out with a lot of people that can be less, or I guess can be more socially awkward than me. And so sometimes I'll be the most social person there. Socially awkward, I hate that term. I don't even want to apply that to other people because it's not that they're, sometimes it's that they're not picking up on cues very well or whatever, but other times it's just like they're shy or quiet people. So when we're having a discussion, I'll carry a lot of the discussion just because I will speak up and they're happy to listen, or they'll interject when they have thoughts, but they aren't comfortable carrying a conversation. So it's really frustrating. Like, it's really frustrating for my family to go back to me and be like, yeah, you're the quiet, socially awkward one. I am not quiet. I am the opposite of quiet, really. But you guys just silence me with your judgments on me and the fact that you don't let me get a word in edgewise. So, like, it was really frustrating to sit there Friday night with my sister trying to lecture me on how to not be socially awkward, but I don't feel I am. And it took me years to get to the point where I didn't feel that way. So I really resented her bringing that back. And it makes me so angry, and I'm crying again over it. Because, like, they had me so down, and it, like, hit my self-confidence so badly that, like, people who were, like, my best friends, people that, like, my roommates who live with me, who love me so much, that were kind of, like, platonic life partners at this point. We were living together for at least a year or two before I believed that they actually liked me. Like, I knew that they liked me, but, like, on the other hand, I was kind of like, how much do they like me? Are they just putting up with me because they can't find better people? Because, like, that was what a lot of my childhood friendships were like. When you're the person that kind of gets teased and is not in the one of the popular kids, you just end up hanging out with all of the other not popular kids. And some of those friends were friends just for that very reason, not because we had anything in common together. And I didn't have the patience to hang out with people a lot if we didn't have anything in common together to do for fun, which I think also led to my family being like, yeah, Lindsay's socially awkward. Because I would choose to, like, do solitary things rather than, like, just do something for the sake of being around other people. Do something that I didn't want to do or had no interest in doing. And, like, it's not that I can't do those things. I totally do stuff just because I'm a good friend and not because I have any personal interest in doing it. I do it all the time. But it's for people that are actual friends these days, as opposed to, like, you know, the people I hang out with so that we're not both lonely. But yeah, it took me a long time to feel comfortable enough in my person and my friends to believe that they actually liked me, as opposed to, like, well, let's hang out because you're the closest person to me I can find. So, yeah, just listening to her lecture me about how not to be socially awkward was really insulting and really hurtful. And that has nothing to do with me being gay, but she kept kind of bringing up my sexuality with relation to this. Because I think she feels like I think she feels like being queer and being a feminist, as strongly as I'm a feminist, are connected. And that's a stereotype you see a lot. And she was buying into it. And it's like, you know what made me a feminist this strong? Going into an industry where I can, like, choosing a career in an industry where I can walk into a room and be the only female, where I have to listen to my professors make jokes about how girls are always complaining, where I have to listen to them lecture, and whenever they use, they're talking about a technician, someone who's doing the job that we will one day be doing, he always uses male pronouns. And whenever he talks about annoying, stupid clients, he uses female pronouns. That's the shit that made me a really strong feminist, not the fact that I'm also into girls. That's incidental. They're not, like, yeah. And so, nipple strip. That was a part of it that was really frustrating. And then, like, when I tried to talk about how, like, and she kept, then she tried to, like, badger me into coming out to the rest of my family and make me feel guilty for the times that she's done things that hurt me or made me feel uncomfortable. Because she's like, you never talked to me about this stuff. And how am I supposed to know when this happens if you don't tell me? And it's kind of like, you could go and read a book. There are a lot of resources out there for family and friends of gay people and queer. I keep saying gay, but really I just mean queer community, not, I should use queer. When I say gay, I probably mean queer. Anyways, like, there are a lot of resources out there about the queer community and how to deal when your family member is a queer person. She hasn't done any of that I know of, and she hasn't changed any of her actions to reflect any knowledge that she might have gained if she has done it, and I just don't know. So that's, like, putting all of the onus on me is kind of frustrating. Especially since, like, when we can talk and it not be a big deal, and then she'll, but when we do talk about this stuff, she tends to end up making me feel uncomfortable. And so she was like, she was basically doing this whole argument of, like, if I'm uncomfortable, it's my fault. And, like, if my family is making me uncomfortable, it's because I haven't come out to them. And I haven't told them, you know, hey, don't be homophobic in my presence. I'm actually gay, queer, whatever. When it's like, you know, is it really that much to ask for them not to be homophobic? I mean, why would they only do it because they were in my presence? It's not okay to make a gay joke when there's not any gays around. It's like, it's not really okay to make a racist joke, even if you're all white, like, and there's no one there to be offended by it. You can be offended by something without being in the group that's being attacked. And so, yeah, I have high standards for people. I'm not surprised when they don't meet it, but it's like, excuse me for actually expecting you to be a better person. So she was like really, really pressuring me to come out to my family. And it's like, I am so stressed right now. I am so stressed with school, with trying to find a job and stuff like that, with money, that I do not want to come out to my family on top of it. I don't have the energy for that. And fuck you for trying to make me come out right now. Because regardless of how people react, it's still going to be an ordeal. Like, that was one of the things that I found so hard when I came out to my friends and family. Even though, like, other than Jen, pretty much everyone was great about it. But, like, that's one of the things I think I mentioned not too long ago. Like, one of the things that I also found hard is everyone's like, yeah, yeah, we don't care. And it's like, well, I care. And I didn't have an outlet to talk about it. And I've made those outlets. I don't know if I'm going to need that when I come out to my family again. But goddamn it, it caught me unprepared last time. And I felt like internally I felt like a damn drama queen. I do not want to have to deal with that again when I'm already stressed about all of these other things. So fuck you, Jen, for trying to make me come out before I'm ready. That is not cool. And like, she kept asking me to explain, like, I would be like, well, this thing you said was hurtful to me. And then she'd ask me to explain why it was hurtful. And then, but she was feeling so defensive that she wasn't listening to what I was saying. Half the time she wasn't even letting me explain why it was hurtful. She would just be like, this is what I meant. You should have gone off my intent. And I'm like, look, you can't have it both ways. I know that when you say these things, you don't intend to be hurtful. So I'm not mentioning it. But if you're going to demand that I mention it when you were hurtful, you can't yell at me if you're not picking up on your intent. Like, she just wanted it, but, like, what it came down to is she basically wanted a checklist of, like, how not to be homophobic around me. How not to make me feel like shit around her. And it's like, it's not that easy. You do a lot of things that are hurtful. Because that's how you've been raised. That's how society is. And I've made an effort to become hyper aware of these things. Because I feel that a lot of good comes out of me being hyper aware of these things, but it also increases my capacity to be hurt by it. It's harder to accept people, like, when you haven't thought about something, the initial arguments generally feel very logical and very, like, comforting and like, no, I wasn't being a jerk, they were just being too sensitive. But when you're someone who's gone and done the research and have, like, the statistics or the information to back up of, like, no, what you're saying is actually hurtful and does no good, and while I can see why you feel like it's fine, it's got greater implications than that. No one wants to listen to the greater implications. Like, she wasn't giving me a chance to get a word in edgewise. And, like, we were talking and she kept asking, oh, I just turned off my cruise control. Like, I would talk about, like, I kept talking about things, like, when I would try and talk about things that happened between us, she would always just kind of come back and attack me for, like, well, you reacted wrong. That wasn't what I meant. So it got to the point where I stopped talking about stuff that the two of us had done, stuff that had happened to me, and just started talking, like, you know, the wider, like, this is why, you know, bi erasure is a problem, this is why this is a problem, or, and I was talking about it from the with a community voice. And so, like, one of the reasons why I didn't want to come out to my mom especially is because bi erasure is a really dangerous thing for me. I have very personal reasons for feeling that way that I'll talk about in a minute if you want. Or even if you don't want, because I can't hear you though. Anyways, but I don't want to participate in bi erasure. I don't want to just say that, oh yeah, I'm gay because it's easier. Because in the end, people taking that easier route is what left me in a position that was uncomfortable for me for a very long time. And so I don't want to be part of bi erasure. I'm not saying everyone should. Coming out is like people's personal initiatives, and I hate boxes anyways, but since we're forced to deal with them, I don't want to give up the box of being bi, because I can find guys attractive. I just overwhelmingly don't. Or, I mean, as someone who's pretty monogamous and life partnery in my personal orientation, that makes me effectively a lesbian. But the thing is, I can find men attractive. I wouldn't mind, like, I don't mind having sex with men. I just don't think I could ever be in a long-term relationship with one. I don't think I could ever marry one. And that makes me more functionally a lesbian, but I don't want to ignore the bi part, because that's also an important part of who I am, and I don't want to be erased. I hate that bi's get erased from the equation. They're the largest part of the LGBT acronym, but they get the least amount of attention and the most derision from both communities. Like, yeah, anyways. So, I don't want to, back to my mom, I didn't want to come out to her because I know that if I come out as bi to her, she's going to take it as like, oh, well, there's still a chance Lindsay will be with a guy. Let's work on this and try and set me up on like random dates with dudes that I am not interested in. And so I know it would be easier if I came out to her and be like, hey, I'm a lesbian. But I think she would take, like, that doesn't feel honest and comfortable for me. And I don't think her reaction to me coming out as bi would be comfortable either. So I've just been avoiding it. And one of the reasons why I'm avoiding it is because I kind of expected, like, when I find someone that matters to me enough that I want to introduce them to my family. And I'm not saying, like, we have to be at the, like, ring buying stage to do this. But, like, if I date someone for a couple of months and think, like, hey, I've got a chance with this, that's when I'll come out, because my mom can't try and set me up with people if I'm already dating someone. So that was kind of my plan, but I haven't really had time to work on the dating someone plan. So I've just been putting it off. And I admit, there have been a couple times where, like, something's been said and I've just wanted to blurt it out. I almost did it, like, a few weekends ago. But again, it has to be a time that I'm comfortable and prepared to do it with, not because my sister wants me to. I don't think I was going to go somewhere after that with this. I guess just to tie it into, like, yeah, my sister thinks that if I tell everyone, it'll make me more comfortable, which admittedly in some ways it will. I just know that it will also make me more uncomfortable in other ways. But, like, I think my sister feels like the reasons why I'm getting hurt is because people wouldn't say those things to my face. But it's like I'm an imposter. I'm like this secret queer that's like queering up their spaces and they don't even know it. So they can't hide their offensive behaviors. And it's like, first of all, I think that's putting our, it's kind of a low blow for our, for my family. And I don't think they're so conscious of that stuff that that's what they're doing. And it's just, it's again, it's blaming me for being hurt as opposed to, instead of the people that are hurting me. So that was really frustrating. And like, and, okay, now I remember where I was gonna go with that. Just that like, she wanted me to talk about, like when we were discussing this, I started talking about things from a community standpoint because I felt like she was negating my lived experiences because she was present and was like, but that's not what I meant. So I started talking about things from a community perspective. She's like, now you're confusing me because like, you just told me that sometimes when I did those things, they made you uncomfortable. Like, she doesn't, like, she would talk about me with guys a lot. She never talked about me with girls. And so, I was like, you know, it's probably never gonna happen, me with a guy. And she's like, so she took that as like, well, I could never talk about guys in your presence then. And it's like, that's not what I meant. But that's what she interpreted it as. And so when I talk about bi erasure and like, don't make me not talk about guys, she's like, but you just told me not to talk about, that me talking about guys is what made you uncomfortable. It's like, no, you talking exclusively about guys is what made me uncomfortable, but I couldn't say that properly at the time. So that led to more butthurt. And it just, yeah, it's, so then she's like, I think I would find this easier to understand or to follow if instead of talking about things from a community standpoint, you would talk about it from your personal standpoint. Like, make it about you instead of about the community, which that is hard to do. When, and she just continued like, yeah, just overriding things that I would say, being like, but that's not what they meant. That's not what I meant. And the other thing is, she'd be like, explain this, explain me a thing. And I'd be like, and I would try, and she would just interrupt and talk over me, and I couldn't get the explanation out because she would ask questions or like interject and just not give me a chance to finish. So she's like, you're confusing me more. And it's like, because you keep interrupting me. Ugh. So, like, we stopped talking at about quarter after one, which is really late for her. Not so late for me, but still kind of late for me. And like we kind of like hugged and made up, and she had like a list of rules that came out of it, which was kind of BS. But then I went downstairs and I started sobbing, just full on sobbing. And that's when I feeling spewed all over Twitter. And thank God for Twitter, because I don't know what I would have done. I was like, who can I call? It is 2 a.m. and I can't deal. And it is not fair to call someone at 2 a.m. to deal with this. And so Twitter was there for me to feel explode all over them and show me that, like, you know, people can learn about this without having to be queer themselves. So that made me feel better. I went to bed at like, I don't know, 3 or 4 a.m. because I just couldn't fall asleep. I had a really bad headache from crying so much. My eyes were hurting from crying so much. I was tired, but my brain was like a hamster on a wheel and I just couldn't get it to stop. And like, I kept thinking of like, oh, I should tell my sister this or that or whatever, but like, she kept complaining that I was using that, like, and I know this is a problem for me. Like, I read so much meta on this stuff that I'm so far beyond the 101 lessons that I forget how to conduct them. I forget how to talk about these things on a 101 level. There's so much language and terminology and stuff that just makes it so much easier to talk about it that I don't know how to not use those words sometimes. Like, when I was making like lists of notes of like, this is stuff I should talk about, it was peppered with words like othering and lived experiences and heteronormative expectations, and I just don't think my sister knows what those things mean, and I don't know if I'm gonna have to do a lot of work to try and explain these things without those term, like without that shared history through terminology as crutches. Which also is a reason why I can't come out to my family right now, because they're probably going to want the same thing, and I am just not prepared. So, that. But I was just, like, so upset and crying, and like, I'd already been feeling, because I was so stressed about homework stuff, I had already been feeling like, I don't even want to do this weekend. I just want to stay at home and get this done. And not be a stress ball. And then this happened, and I was just like, I want a blanket fort that I never have to crawl out of. Good God. And, but luckily, fangirls and getting hugs in real life was exactly what I needed. So I went there, and I met Gingerly, General Ginger, and her friend, who I had never met before, but was amazing. And I met Melusina, and we had all the hugs, and we sat around at the venue having some drinks before the show and standing in line, and like I would be like, and then she said this, and they'd be like, she did not, that's horrible, and coming up with like, this is why it's horrible, and I was like, why couldn't you have been there when we were having the discussion before? I needed that backup, though then my sister would have really felt attacked. But, good Lord, this is going to happen if I come out to my family. I just don't want to deal with it. This is why I've occasionally contemplated moving away. Somewhere where it's like, you have physical distance to justify not hanging out with your family all the time. Like, my last summer was a super hard summer for me. Like, just incredibly hard. I was so depressed for so long. Like, I was functioning, and that was it. I would, like, get up in the morning and go to work, and that was all I could do. And I would go home and do nothing. I wasn't being creative. I was barely talking to people. I'd like go home and I'd lie in bed and I'd like listen to podfic or I'd read fic, but I wasn't even talking to anyone. And I was so depressed. And part of the thing that made me depressed, like I have depression issues in general, and like school has always been a really bad trigger for my depression. I failed out of school the first two times I tried because of my depression and my inability to deal with it. So this time around, I've been really concerned about how I was going to handle depression. And I did really well that first year. And, like, I could feel, certainly by the end of that first year, I could feel the depression, like, clawing around the corners. But I managed to hold it back until exams were done. And then once that was happened, it was like the dam broke, and I spent the next like 2 months being depressed out of my mind. And one of the things that made it last so long is I needed a stress relief. I desperately needed a stress relief, but I couldn't get it because I was working, and every weekend my family would be like, come do this with me, come do that with us. And it was stuff that it's like, I'm not super enjoying these things. And I find my, and it was making me feel really stressed around my family, and stressed because I had no free time. And it was just, I would get, so every moment that I wasn't having to, like, that I wasn't puppeting around trying to live a life, or no, trying not to have my life fall down around me, like, I was a puppet, just going through the motions of the strings that other people were pulling for me. So every moment that I wasn't doing that, wasn't putting on a show at work or with my family, I was desperately trying to recoup. And it just took me so long to build up enough time that I was properly recouped from it. So it took me, like, I spent months, like at least two plus months of last summer feeling that way. And so I think that has also added to my anxiety around my family, of just knowing that was a case where I spent too much time with them and it made things worse. So I kind of have, like, it's now got this, like, Pavlovian negative reaction to the idea of spending a lot of time with my family. And part of the reason why I was spending so much time with them is because they had these expectations that I would. And their expectations were there because they were doing something and I was nearby. Of course I'm going to go. And so I kind of, like, often I feel like if I lived somewhere else, if I lived farther away, I wouldn't have those expectations of, like, the expectations of proximity, where I can be like, okay, I'm gonna go, it's like a holiday or whatever, so I'm gonna go and be with family, but it doesn't have to be every weekend, it can be like once a month, or once every couple months. Because again, my family, they're good people, they're just not the people that I love most hanging out with. And in fact, they can be the people that I find most stressful to hang out with. And that's not on them, and it's not on me. It's just how it is. I'm trying to grab my other water bottle. And I think my sister's offended by that. She's offended that I find it hard to be around them. And her offense, like, oops, bad. Trying to open a bottle of water and accidentally hit my horn. People around me are probably gonna be like, what was that for? So I'm not really near anyone right now.
Phantom Ghost, I don't
don't remember her Latin name, and some other friends whose names I just didn't catch at all. We barely spoke. Like, we kind of talked to them a little bit after the show, and then they're like, we're super tired and our feet hurt, so we're just going to go back to our hotel. And the rest of us were like, let's go find something to eat so we can talk more. But we found an IHOP, and then the IHOP turned out to close at midnight. It was, we got there at like 10 after midnight. So then we stayed in the parking lot talking for like a while. But it was really great. And I think I might, because Ginger Lee lives in Michigan, so I might try and drive down and just spend a weekend with her sometime, because she's pretty great. And I would love to be able to visit Mal and, like, Girl Pearl and stuff like that. And, like, there's a lot of Texans that I'd love to go visit, but Texas is far away and is not a weekend driving trip, so it will not be anytime soon. It's just really fun hanging out with fangirls and talking about Podvic a lot, and we had a big discussion about Fallout Boy fandom and how it's like a little sad that like there aren't more people in Fallout Boy fandom. Like, most of the fandom people that we know were into MyChem, and a lot of them, especially since MyChem has now broken up, have started drifting into other fandoms. There's a lot of people in hockey fandom. There's a lot of people just moving on in general. And so it's, fandom's not as big as it once was, but, and it seems like there's a lot of people like still clinging to MyChem, even like, you know, fandom Big Bang happened and still MyChem was the most popular band in there. And like Fall Out Boy went on hiatus and came back, and people, how have they not been jumping on the Fall Out Boy bandwagon? This is so sad making. And there's a bunch of new Fall Out Boy fans, but I don't know, I think Tumblr is an interesting place for fandom, because there's, it's not that fandom is a uniform thing at all. Even in places like LiveJournal or whatever, you get a lot of people who experience fandom in different ways. But I find Tumblr just has a lot more definitions of fandom and how people interact with stuff. So there's a lot of people that are really into Fall Out Boy on Tumblr, but they're purely into the music, or they'll just watch like the they'll listen to the music, watch the interviews, and make a ton of gift sets from it, but that's their definition of fandom, and that's where it stops. They're not necessarily into the RPF side of it. And there's not much fic being written. There's not much, like, there's not much podfic being made. It's just a different kind of fandom. And that's kind of sad making. And Tumblr is really great for broadcasting. It's not an interactive place. Not really. It's hard to have a conversation there. If you do, you're spamming people a lot more than you are on Twitter. And it's just, I like Tumblr a lot, but it can't be my only fandom place. It just can't be. So we kind of talked about that a little bit. And it's making me want to like record so much more podfic. But it's hard. There's not a lot of podfic being, or there's not a lot of fic being produced today. And I can go back and look at some of the old stuff, but you know, if it's from 5+ years ago, there's a good chance I can't get a hold of the author. Like, Pretty in Ink, that podfic that I posted earlier this year, it took me 3 months of contacting the author different ways each time before I finally got a response from her. Like, that's so much effort. It was really stressful. But I had this, like, originally I wanted to do that podfic for Amplificathon. But I ended up only posting it in, like, July or August. Because it took me that long to get permission. And that's a really stressful way. Especially, like, with the anti-podfic wank that's been happening lately. It's just making me really leery to podfic things by people that don't have blanket permission, or to like cold ass people. Like, I've been in podfic fandom for quite a few years now, and this is the first time I've actually like had the thought of like, no, I'm gonna stick to blanket permission people. Like, there were times where I just happened to be sticking to blanket permission people. Blanket permission definitely was affecting what I chose to record, and certainly what I finished recording. But, yeah, I kind of was, like, reaching the decision of, like, I'm not going to ask anymore because I don't want to have to deal with this shit. But if I'm not going to ask anymore, that doesn't leave me with, like, much fic to record. So that's frustrating. It's just like, how can there not be more Pete Patrick? They're so perfect. So, Mel and I whined about that to each other while standing in the merch line, with people occasionally like nodding along or joining in, or I didn't notice anyone shooting us evil glares, because that, sometimes that happens when you talk about RBF around people. Unrelated to this weekend at all, but there's this girl at school in my class, and she's like one of the only girls in my class. There's not that many. And she's like closer to my age, and she's a geeky fan girl. No, she's a geeky fan. She doesn't really fit the idea of, she doesn't really fit the term fan girl as a single word. She's a girl who's a fan. And all that. So, and she's really into Supernatural. So we've talked a couple of times. But, and like, it was fun. Like, I had a lot of fun talking with her last year. And I'm not avoiding her this year. But we've had a couple long conversations where it's just been like, no. Because she's like, she's really into, she gets like fanishly obsessed about things. But she is not in, like, Transformative Works fandom. She is not okay with fanfic. She is especially not okay with RPF. She's not even okay with, like... She's not okay with you touching people's characters. She's like, I can get behind touching the world a bit, but it is, like, she was trying to convince me that it is morally wrong to use someone else's characters when writing fanfic. And it's just like, nope, I can't talk to you about these things. We can fangirl over Supernatural, even though I haven't watched it for like, I'm way behind. But I can't sit here and listen to you lecture me about how, you know, this stuff's morally wrong, or how all fanfic is crap, how can anyone enjoy it, when I've told you that that is a thing that I am into, that is a thing that I work with, and that is how I'm personally creative, involves using fanfic and all these things that you're trying to tell me are morally wrong. It was, yeah, I think we're gonna have a little more distance between each other now. Because she interacts on Tumblr, and so she's aware of fangirls, and she just finds them nuts and offensive, I guess. And, like, last year we talked about it a little bit, and I kind of thought that I was actually helping her a little, where it's like, look, here's a fangirl who is not nuts. But, like, when she started poking at things, I probably got put a little bit back in the nuts category. Because, yeah, I'm not gonna listen to that. And, like, when she brought up the fact that it is, like, morally wrong to use someone else's characters, but she's kind of okay with using their world, just not their characters, I was like, no, we're not talking about this. Because if we do, We will be here all night and all morning, and I still won't have even finished my first thoughts. We can't have this discussion. You are never going to convince me otherwise. And she had no interest in being convinced. But it was funny because, like, I went home and told my roommates about that, about how she was, like, trying to convince me of these things. And my roommate was just like, I'm trying to imagine you coming home and having been convinced by her and being like, yeah, you know, I think fanfic is morally wrong. And I was like, yeah, that's when you would have started looking for the pods. Because I can't see that ever happening. Something that gets me about some of the podfic discussions that were happening this summer, about people who are so unself-aware of what they do, because they feel that because the OTW has told them that fanfic is legal, that they have all moral rights to do it, but because, you know, they feel like podfic is not legal without permission, that there's no moral rights involved, and they don't see the hypocrisy in what they're saying about, like, I don't want anyone to touch my fic because it's mine and I should have complete control over how people interpret it. Which, like, first of all, good luck trying to keep control over how people interpret it, because the author is dead once it gets in the reader's hands. But also, just like, really, that's what you're gonna go with? About why we shouldn't touch it, because I've seen a lot of powers that be make that exact same argument, and it was actually kind of perfect. There's this one person that was making that argument, and one of their, like, personal friends was like, so I don't really know anything about podfic, but what you're saying sounds really familiar. And then they took their entire post and substituted out podfic for fanfic and fanfic author for pro author. It was beautiful. And, like, I realize that they're not, like, totally the same, that there are some differences going on, but, yeah, that was kind of beautiful. And then I was kind of pissed at a podficker who stepped in and was like, nope, it's not the same, because it took away the author's, like, chance to think about it. She was just going to be like, see, and not have to think about it. But, whatever. So I'm pulling over right now to get gas. I have no idea how long this recording has been. Oh, an hour and 12 minutes. Probably not the longest, but I'm gonna stop here. So, oh. This is probably not a good idea to do while trying to switch gears. Doing things while driving is so much harder to do when you drive standard. You need two hands and both feet. Not that I would play with my iPod with my feet, but, you know, just more things to think about. Anyways, thanks for listening to me ramble. That's the skinny of what went down. Who knows where I'm going from here? I'm sure we'll find out. Have fun at school, and I'm honestly so happy for you that you're friends are taking it so well and that you are comfortable coming out. To be honest, like, on the Friday, or I guess technically Saturday morning at the 2 a.m. when I was like, I almost hay-tailed you. One of the reasons why I didn't do it is because I didn't want to scare you off of coming out to people, because I didn't want to give you, like, this bad experience and make you afraid of doing it when it's been going so well for you. But now you have the details, and possibly it will have this effect anyways, but we'll see. Goodbye! Oh, have fun!